We're going to talk about comedic actors who went on to play dramatic roles. And the reason I brought this up is because there's a really good film on Netflix right now and also at the Landmark Century Center Cinema called Kodachrome with Ed Harris, Elizabeth Olsen, and Jason Sudeikis. Now, Jason Sudeikis, known mostly for his comedy work, although I don't think Colossal is a comedy, and I don't think his work in Colossal is necessarily a comedic role. But this is a pretty serious drama about a father-son relationship and a son reconnecting with his father after many, many years while his father is dying. And it's a really good film, and it's really beautifully acted, and Jason Sudeikis has the chops. He really does. So we're talking about other comedic actors and actresses who played dramatic roles and how that fared. And we got a bunch of them here. The first one that comes up here and is Bill Murray, who I remember when Bill Murray did The Razor's Edge. And that was the Razor's Edge came out. If people can realize this, that was a personal project that he really wanted. It was a passion project of his that he wanted and had it produced. And it was a serious drama. And it came out the same summer as Ghostbusters. If people can remember that, it came out the same summer as Ghostbusters, and people thought, you know, Bill Murray had lost his mind because he'd done nothing but comedy from, you know, Second City to Saturday Night Live to, you know, Stripes, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, all of those kind of movies, and then all of a sudden, you know, here's this serious drama that he wanted to do. But he's gone on, obviously. And done a lot of dramatic stuff now. Lost in Translation is probably the one that everybody remembers, like, really, you know, being a standout for him. He did Hyde Park on the Hudson. He did Broken Flowers. So he's done a lot of serious roles. But I think the one that people, you know, think stand out, the one that stood out the most for all of them, is Lost in Translation, which he did a great job in. And I think Bill Murray is a terrific comedic actor, obviously. We all love him in that. But I also think that he's a good dramatic actor. So that's the first one that popped up here. If you guys want to jump in, when comedic actors and actresses do drama, 312-981-7200. We got a break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. Phone lines, text lines are open right now, 312-981-7200. We're talking about when comedic performers do dramatic movies and how that's worked out. Sometimes oftentimes it turns out to be great. So we would love to hear from you. What were some of your favorite comedic performers and some of their dramatic roles? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's see. Dan, did you have any popped into your head?
You know, not a big role, and I don't think he's actually done any drama since, but one that kind of surprised me and I was pleasantly surprised was Chris Tucker in Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Chris Tucker was known for his style of acting for a very long time, and then he kind of disappeared, and that was the first time I'd seen him in years, and I just thought it was a really especially compared to what he had done, but just in terms of the movie itself, it was just a really understated, sweet, small performance,
yeah.
And just a real big surprise, and like one of the, you know, a real pleasant surprise within that movie.
Yeah.
So.
I agree with you on that. That's it, because I'm not the biggest Chris Tucker fan in the world, but I thought he was really good in that movie. I really did. Another guy I'm not a real big fan of is Marlon Wayans, but Requiem for a Dream.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I've only seen that movie once. I will never, ever watch it again, but Marlon Wayans is really good in that movie, and that's not a comedy by any stretch of the imagination at all. God, the last 15 minutes of that movie, I swear to God, I was ready to kill Aronofsky. I was like, come on, man. Brutal. Esmeralda, what about you? Any comedic actors that did drama that you liked?
The person that comes to mind to me is Jim Carrey.
Okay.
Doing Truman Show and was the movie that he did about
he did Man in the Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got like a really creepy looking movie coming out. He was in a horror movie called Number 23, which was terrible. But he's got this movie called Dark Crimes coming out, where I saw the trailer for it. It's really dark and twisted and crazy. But I remember when the Truman Show came out, people were like, oh, he's good. He's a good actor. And Truman Show's a great movie. And he's great in it. That's a great example right there. How about Adam Sandler with Punch Drunk Love? You know, that still his best performance, and he was just in that Netflix movie with Dustin Hoffman, the Meyerowitz stories. He was really good in that too. But I can't go with him on the comedy stuff. Some of it, like a couple of his early movies, are pretty funny. But I remember what a revelation I thought Punch Drunk Love was. I thought he was great in it. So, all right, 312-981-7200. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, I got two for you. And I think you'll like this because I know your love of theater. Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Who started as Tim Watley on Seinfeld and then kept doing theater, and then suddenly he's in Breaking Bad killing people.
Well, he was also Malcolm's father on Malcolm
that's
in the
right.
Middle.
That's right.
And
exactly.
Spent a significant amount of time in his tidy whities in that show too.
Yeah, yeah. So and then the other one is John, the late great John Mahoney, who did everything, and you know, theater was his love, but he did everything.
Yeah,
know?
He did. Yeah, but I guess you know, obviously, best known for the sitcom Frasier.
That's right.
But he was
right, but
he had much more under his belt than that. He was a tremendous.
Oh yeah, no, and what he? I mean, I heard. I think Dean or somebody when he passed away recently. You know, all he talked about was Steppenwolf, and you know,
oh, yeah.
The theater aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I have a weird GM thing with him. I met him once. Because Rick Kogan gave me tickets when he was doing his Chicago Live thing at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
I call him, and I go, I Rick's walking around, and I say, hey, thanks, this is really cool, man. And then John Mahoney was actually one of the speakers, because he was in town for a play. And suddenly, I'm with Rick and John Mahoney.
Well, that's pretty cool, man.
It was really cool. Surreal,
yeah.
But cool.
Yeah, that's good company. All right, Carrie, thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Take care. 312-981-7200. We're talking about when comedic actors do serious dramatic roles. And now Jonah Hill is another one. Dan, he was nominated twice, right? Was he nominated? I know he was nominated for The Wolf of Wall Street. Was he nominated for Moneyball?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the Moneyball was before Wolf of Wall Street. And I remember being pretty impressed with Jonah Hill in that. I'm not a fan of Wolf of Wall Street. I know I'm in the minority on that. But you know, he and DiCaprio are both very good in the movie. I just didn't like the movie very much. But yeah, there's a guy who went from, you know, super bad and, you know, as basic slapstick comedy as you can get to becoming a pretty, you know, well respected dramatic actor, Jonah Hill. And Seth Rogen was in Steve Jobs in, you know, a very serious role of which he doesn't play a lot of serious roles, Seth Rogen. But yeah, he was actually very good in Steve Jobs. So there you go. Although, you know, his 50-50 it was kind of serious, kind of the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Right.
That was a pretty nice, that was a nice performance too by Seth Rogen. So. All right, let's see. Here is LJ on WGN. Hi, LJ.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey.
All right, yeah. I like a lot of the things that your listeners have come up with. I'm going to go back. Let's go back to, like, Turner Classic Movies. The one that came to mind was The Odd Couple and Days of Wine and Roses.
Yeah.
Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, Jack Lemmon was a great actor and could do comedy and drama equally. And, yeah, that's about, you know, if you look at The Odd Couple and then you look at Days of Wine and Road, that's about as far removed as you can possibly get.
Right.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about a wide pendulum there.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, LJ, thanks, man. Right. Take care.
No problem.
There you go. All right. How about Eddie Murphy, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy is, I guess, the big, you know, serious turn for him was Dreamgirls. Because mostly he's done comedy. Although, you know, I mean, 48 Hours is a comedy. It's funny. But that's more of an action movie than anything else. Yeah. But it was it had to be Dreamgirls. That was the one that pretty much nailed it for him in that regard. And, of course, you know, Jerry Lewis, my hero. Jerry Lewis, who has done some of the goofiest and slapstickiest comedies of all time, started doing some serious stuff, most notably The King of Comedy, the Martin Scorsese movie with Robert De Niro. You know, a great performance from Jerry Lewis. And he would go on to do stuff like Funny Bones, which is a terrific movie. His last movie was a movie called Max Rose, and that was a drama. So he was able to do that stuff. But it was The King of Comedy, oddly. King of Comedy, which was a serious movie, got him the best reviews of his career, acting-wise, so, and deservedly so. All right, we're talking about comedian actors and actresses who play drama. 312-981-7200. Catch Crotochrome, by the way, with Jason Sudeikis and Ed Harris on Netflix. All right, news is going to come up right after this. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we've been talking about comedic actors and actresses who do dramatic and like one of their first dramatic performances and how they compare. The reason why I brought this up is because there's a really terrific movie called Kodachrome available now on Netflix. And I watched it yesterday, and it's a pretty terrific movie, and it features a central performance by Jason Sudeikis. And it's a serious role, and he's terrific in it. And so, yeah, that's what we've been talking about. Comedic actors who do dramatic roles. 312-981-7200. Here is Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I was thinking about Mary Tyler Moore in Ordinary People.
Yeah.
You know, you're just used to her as Laura Petrie and the whole Mary Tyler Moore and Bobo the Clown, and
yeah.
Everything was always so funny, and then she was just so dark and cold in Ordinary People.
Absolutely.
You weren't expecting it.
Yeah. Great performance. Really, really great performance. Got herself an Oscar nomination for it too. And at that point, you know, it was interesting because when Ordinary People came out, the last person on earth that you would expect to play that role would be Mary Tyler Moore, because
yeah,
she was like
exactly.
she was still America's sweetheart at that point. And
right, yeah, pretty charming, funny.
Yeah, and she's great in it. She's really, really great in it.
She really was. Yeah, it was a great movie.
Okay. All right, Tom, thanks for the call.
Okay, Nick.
See ya.
Bye.
Yeah. She was, man, Mary Tyler Moore was so good in that movie. Let's see. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man.
I got a couple for you. Jackie Gleason in The Hustler.
Oh, please.
She was fantastic.
He was
in that role.
So good in that movie. So good.
Right. And another one is Richard Pryor, and I think his best performance outside of his concert films, Blue Collar.
Without question. I think we mentioned Blue Collar the other morning.
Really?
On the air. Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies of all time. And like you said, the only movie that Pryor made that sort of captured that fire that he had outside of his concert movies.
Right.
You know, do you know the behind the scenes stuff that happened when they were making Blue Collar?
Oh, yeah. they didn't get along. They didn't get along at all.
No, Schrader and Pryor was way, you know, like his drug problems were like at a peak at that point. And he.
Keitel.
Yeah, and he pulled a loaded gun on Schrader. It was just.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, yeah, no, he pulled a loaded gun on Paul Schrader, and Paul Schrader almost had a nervous breakdown and almost quit the business. Yeah, but the result is great. The movie's fantastic, and he's great
exactly.
in it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, Mike.
Someone else you might add to that. Yeah. I, you know, I know it's not exactly a drama, but I think Jim Carrey's performance in what's that movie with oh my god.
Oh, is it
the Charlie Kaufman movie?
Yeah, the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a serious role. I mean, yeah. That's a great. He's terrific in that movie too.
Yeah,
that's a good choice. All right, Mike, thanks.
Take care, man.
Take care, buddy. Yeah. All right. Here's Don on WGN. Hi, Don.
Hi. I was thinking of Diane Keaton. How she could go back and forth from comedy to drama, depending on who her director was and
yeah.
who her stars were.
Yeah, she certainly has done some great comedic work, mm-hmm. and some phenomenal dramatic work as well. She's got a lot of range, Diane Keaton, and she's also really just naturally hilarious.
And Anne Bancroft, Mrs. Mel Brooks, right? Who's
yeah.
the late Anne Bancroft. Could do obviously from The Miracle Worker all the way to The Prisoner of Second Avenue, I think she was in, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
a whole bunch of different things going
yeah.
back and forth.
Yeah,
sort of in between.
You got to be funny if you're going to be married to Mel Brooks. That's just going to be a given. So, all right, Don, thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Take
thanks.
Care. Bye. All right, we got some texts here. Patrick in Garland, Texas says, I'm thinking the best example of comedian would be and to drama was Carol Burnett. Oh yeah, that's right. She did the TV movie Friendly Fire back in her day, and her son was killed in Vietnam by America, and it was a mistake. Friendly Fire. Yeah, Carol Burnett. Also, Jackie Gleason nailing it in The Hustler. We mentioned 312 area code says Robin Williams, one of the best comedy to drama actors. Yeah, people love Robin Williams, and it was Good Will Hunting. He won the Academy Award for that, and that was clearly a drama. Although there was funny things in Good Will Hunting, but 773 area code, Jamie Foxx in Ray was a great dramatic performance. 708 area code is the first one I think of is Ashton Kutcher in The Butterfly Effect. Oh, you must love that one, Esmeralda.
Oh God. Okay. I mean, yes.
It was different,
right?
309 area code says Craig T. Nelson. The 815 area code says Vince Vaughn in Return to Paradise. Still one of my favorite performance by him. Yeah, I vaguely remember that movie. How about Michael Keaton? Michael Keaton started out doing flat out comedies, you mm-hmm. know, Night Shift and all that stuff, and he did a movie called Clean and Sober. That was like his first very dramatic turn. He had mm-hmm. done like 5-6 comedies in a row.
Yeah.
And then Clean and Sober came out where he played an addict and in rehab. Morgan Freeman played like the guy who ran the rehab facility.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an early Morgan Freeman role too. That was like before Morgan Freeman really took off. And Keaton's great in it. Great. I mean, I think Michael Keaton is a terrific actor. You know, I mean, I know he can be really funny, but you know, he's proven that he's a good straight ahead. I mean, you know, Birdman, he was unbelievable in Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotlight, he was great in Spotlight. He's been great in a lot of dramatic movies. He's very good. But I vividly remember when Clean and Sober came out, people were shocked, you know, because he was wacky Michael Keaton at that point.
Right.
And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it came out the same year as Beetlejuice. So it was like right... yeah,
polar opposites.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, you know, and I think they came out one run right after the other. It was like Beetlejuice was first, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it was pre Batman. It was post Beetlejuice, but it was pre Batman.
Okay.
And it's a real if you want to check it out. Dan, you ever see Clean and Sober?
No.
He's really good in it. It's a really good movie. Really, really good movie. Here on this list, I have Albert Brooks in Drive. Did you ever see Drive?
The
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Albert Brooks was the main bad guy in it.
Is this the first time he's done dramatic?
Well,
seems very foreign to his career.
It's
to never have touched the stuff.
Broadcast News has some drama in it. I mean, it's mostly a comedy, but that's a pretty realistic stuff
mm-hmm.
in there. But, like, I mean, it's, you know, like his films himself, they're all comedies, you know, like the ones that he makes. But his performance in Drive is different than anything. He's a psycho in that movie. Like, he's a cold-blooded psycho mafia dude. And the director of the movie, Nicholas Winding Refn, said that it was the scene in Lost in America where he's screaming at Julie Haggerty about the nest egg, about losing the nest egg. He was like, oh, he could play a killer.
It's about money.
Yeah. Jason Bateman in Ozark. Well, Jason Bateman's been in a lot of dramatic stuff. Hasn't he? Jason Bateman's been in, he's been in a good amount of dramatics. I know he does. I know he mostly does comedies. Your Horrible Bosses, Your Office Christmas Parties, and stuff like that.
Well, I think because of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
No one remembers if he's done anything serious. Because they just think of him as a Bluth.
Yeah, that's true. But he's done more than just Ozark. Why can't I think of anything that Jason Bateman's done that's serious? Because he has. He's done serious stuff, not just Ozark. But Ozark is very dark and very serious, so that's probably why they chose it. And we got Robin Williams, which we mentioned already, in Good Will Hunting.
Even past that is those when he was doing those thrillers.
Who?
Robin Williams. Like, 1 hour photo.
Oh, 1 hour photo.
Where, like, there's just, it's devoid of
insomnia.
Humor.
Insomnia. Yeah. He was great in Insomnia, him and Pacino. And 1 hour photo is, I think 1 hour photo is probably his creepiest performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one? He was in another one that was similar to that.
Something about splicing memories.
What was that called?
He's doing a lot of photo related.
Because 1 hour photo, 1 hour photo was Mark Romanek directed that, the guy who directed some of my favorite videos of all time. That was one of his first sort of actual, you know feature films. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was also in Insomnia, he played a creepy killer too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know why he was good at that.
Final Cut.
Final Cut. There it is. Final Cut. Yeah, those came out pretty close together.
Right?
And it was like, what, Robin Williams is on the serial killer kick right now.
Serial killers and photos.
Yeah. But yeah, 1 hour photo out. Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a while. That's a good movie. That's a good creepy movie. He's really creepy, and his hair in that movie. All right, we got a break. We're talking about comedic performers who have done dramatic stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. My dad's going to call and tell a joke. And then we'll wrap up the conversation about funny people being dramatic. All right. We got some other comedic performers here. How about Whoopi Goldberg, who for years was known as a comedic actress on stage, did one-woman shows and stuff and all these crazy characters. Their first movie is A Color Purple. It doesn't get more dramatic than that.
Right.
You know? And then she went back between comedies and dramas as well, Whoopi Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of my favorite titles ever.
That one movie where she is a business person.
The Associate?
Is that the one where she makes up a boss?
Yeah, I think that's called The Associate.
Don't believe her.
I'm pretty sure that's called The Associate. Do you remember Burglar?
No.
With her?
What's that?
She played a burglar.
Yeah, but what?
Comedy. Wacky.
What was she doing?
She was breaking into places.
But that can't be the only story.
I don't remember. I saw it one time. It came out in the 80s.
An hour and a half of her just breaking into places.
How about Fatal Beauty? That was like a dark action movie where she killed people.
No.
Sam Elliott was in it.
What?
Yeah, these were all those were these movies where there was a period of time in the 80s where Whoopi Goldberg made about 63 movies and nobody saw any of them.
Aw.
All right. How about Monique?
Right.
In Precious.
Yeah.
Very serious. Mm-hmm. Very serious performance. She won the Oscar for that, didn't she? She did win the Oscar for that.
I think so.
Supporting actress. She won for that. And she's obviously on TV. She's wacky, and she's a stand-up comedian. But yeah. How about Steve Martin? He was in David Mamet's The Spanish Prisoner. He was also in The Band Played On. Have you ever seen In the Band Played On?
I haven't, no.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
HBO movie about the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
One of the seriously a phenomenal movie, if you've never seen it. And Steve Martin's terrific in it. And that's got a cast. Oh, my God. You look at the cast list of that movie.
Did it have a lot of people that weren't, you wouldn't expect them to
be? Yeah. Seriously, you look at the cast list of that movie, it's ridiculous. Like, everybody on the planet, because it was an important movie and people wanted to be a part of it. And I still think it's the best movie made for HBO because it was an HBO movie. Mm-hmm. I still think it's the best HBO movie ever made. How about Will Ferrell?
Oh, yeah, that movie where... Well, yeah, but that was...
Everything Must Go. Where he's selling everything that he owns on his lot, on the lawn.
Oh, okay.
Which one were you thinking of?
The one where he's in a story. Or someone... There's an author...
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, but that was... There was... Funny
yeah, moments. And then Emma Thompson, right?
Yeah.
Emma Thompson... Was Hoffman in that, too, I think?
Oh, that I don't remember. It was... Oh, one of the Gyllenhaal, the girl,
Maggie.
Yeah, she was in it.
Maggie Gyllenhaal, Stranger Than Fiction.
Yes,
that's it.
But that was kind of quirky, funny.
Yeah,
but it was still fairly serious.
Yeah, and he was good in it too.
Yeah.
We got some texts. Steve Martin in Parenthood. Well, that's. I mean, there's serious moments in it, but that's a comedy. Parenthood, yeah. I think, is a comedy. Based on your 48 Hours comment, I might throw Roxanne in. Roxanne's a comedy, but it's a pretty lovely movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Where it's basically Cyrano. Mm-hmm. He's got the big nose, and it's a pretty good movie. He wrote that. Lake Geneva Dan said John Goodman. Yeah, he can go back and forth.
Yeah.
He can go back and forth and be, like, really funny, and then, like, do something like 10 Cloverfield Lane and be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, good one. Diane says Andy Griffith and Facing the Crowd. That's a good one, man. 630 area code, John Belushi with Continental Divide, which was a movie that he was really, really, really proud of. One of the last movies that was released before his death. And it was a romantic, it was a comedy-ish, but it was more, he was actually a romantic lead in it. Like,
oh,
you would
wow.
never cast him as a romantic lead.
Right.
He plays like a Mike Royko kind of Chicago. He worked at the Sun-Times mm-hmm. in the movie. And he was like a Mike Royko Chicago writer who, like, got in trouble with the mob. So they sent him out of town to write a story about a woman who lives in the wilderness, played by Blair Brown, who's trying to protect the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up falling in love.
Oh.
And it's like this, you know, really uncharacteristic Belushi movie mm-hmm. that came out at a time when he was doing, like, these, you know, the John Belushi stuff
right.
that you expect. Didn't do very well at the box office, and I remember he was really, like, that hit him hard. That hit him hard. If I remember correctly, like, the failure of that movie triggered a couple of binges, for, mm-hmm. you know, that he didn't handle very well. 219 area code, Tom Hanks.
Mm.
Tom Hanks did comedies all the way up until, is Big considered? Because that's when people started to consider him.
I mean,
like,
I would say
it's a comedy.
I would say it's more of a comedy than a drama.
He did get nominated for that movie, though. That was like when people said, oh, Tom Hanks might be a good actor.
Aw.
Yeah. And then he ends up winning 2 Oscars in a row, and
yeah.
he, you know, back-to-back, Philadelphia and Forrest Gump. And obviously, he's clearly a good dramatic actor and a good comedic actor. And he's David S. Pumpkins.
Yeah. What's the last funny movie he's done?
That's a good question. Because The Paper...
Now I'm trying to think. Like,
I don't think he's made a comedy in a long time. The Paper was his last movie, and that was not a comedy.
Turner and Hooch.
There you go. Turner and Hooch. By the way, Kathy O'Malley would like to let everybody know that the dog dies at the end.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Two for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be back.